and welcome to Jazz Vignettes from the Hall. I am Maria Leniak. In this special series, music enthusiast Steve Gedrose explores the world of jazz from its roots to the present day. He breaks the fascinating, ever-evolving genre of jazz into easily digestible themes, backed up, of course, with plenty of music examples. In each episode, Steve will introduce you to musicians who were or are some of the key driving forces behind the evolution of jazz music. We recorded Steve's presentations live at the beautiful Old Fire Hall in downtown Whitehorse, Yukon. Annually, between October and April, Jazz Yukon presents 5 concerts as part of their Jazz in the Hall concert series. These events feature leading local jazz groups and are opened with a presentation by Steve, where he provides the background and interesting tidbits about the live music performed that evening. This episode provides some insight into a musician, arranger, and bandleader, Jimmy Giuffre. Jimmy Giuffre, who surely deserves more attention, came up in the big band era and made considerable contributions to groups such as Woody Herman's Second Herd. He developed the unique Four Brothers saxophone sound for Herman and used his extensive knowledge of counterpoint and harmony to propel his own ensembles. His creativity in combining such disparate elements as folk and free jazz created a soundscape that still sounds fresh today. At this point in our show, we usually welcome Steve Gedrose to tell us more about today's theme. However, Steve was not available to provide his presentation himself. Sitting in for Steve Gedrose is Whitehorse jazz vocalist Fawn Fritzen. It's all yours, Fawn.
Steve's not feeling well, so I agreed to step into his large shoes. So Paul Lucas and his trio will be playing a number of original compositions by him and by his bandmates, as well as some tunes from a few of his Brazilian heroes. As his group has the unusual instrumentation of guitar, bass, and woodwind player, I decided to look through jazz history to find a comparable trio. I've come up with the interesting but underrated group called the Jimmy Giuffre Three. While the music of these two outfits may be completely different, I was interested to discover that their instrumentation was quite similar. Jimmy Giuffre moved between clarinet, tenor sax, and baritone sax in his work. The most common type of jazz trio uses piano, bass, and drums. There are many examples of this setup, including the wonderful trios of Bill Evans, Keith Jarrett, and Brad Meldo. Though through the history of the music, we have also seen combinations like piano, guitar, and bass used to great effect by Nat King Cole and later Oscar Peterson. There are also organ trios that employ the Hammond B3 organ with guitar and drums, such as those of Jimmy Smith, Jack McDuff, and Wes Montgomery. Giuffre's instrumentation of woodwind, guitar, and bass brought a different sound to the four. Jimmy Giuffre was born on April 26, 1921 in Dallas, Texas, and passed away on April 24, 2008 in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, 2 days short of his 87th birthday. He studied in an excellent music program at North Texas State, where he was a roommate of jazz guitarist Herb Ellis, later to come to fame with Canada's own Oscar Peterson. After graduation, the military called, and Giuffre played tenor sax in a 70-piece Air Force orchestra that he described as similar to the music of André Costelenets, which is basically orchestral pop. After he was discharged from the service, he enrolled for a short time in the master's program at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. He left that program to study with Wesley LaViolette. LaViolette was a contemporary classical composer who incorporated a combination of Eastern mysticism and modern music into his pedagogy. This was in the late 1940s and early 1950s, long before the Beatles' famous pilgrimage to study with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Violette taught his students about counterpoint, and his compositions were noteworthy for their untraceable roots. Giuffre took these lessons to heart and incorporated some of these ideas into his own work. In these early years, Giuffre was more known as an arranger than as an instrumentalist. He did, however, take jobs with swing band leaders like Jimmy Dorsey and Buddy Rich. In 1949, Jimmy joined Woody Herman's band 2 years after the success of his popular composition, Four Brothers. Herman's outfit, known as the Second Herd, recorded this song on December 27, 1947 for Columbia Records. It reflected the band's sound so well that this version of Herman's orchestra came to be known as the Four Brothers Band. The tune featured the reed section of 3 tenors and a baritone saxophone, which included the influential tenor stars Zoot Sims and Stan Getz. All these reed men played in the light vibrato style of the great Lester Young, who also became a model for Jufri's clarinet sound. While living in California, Jimmy worked and played with groups like Howard Rumsey's Lighthouse All-Stars and Shorty Rogers' Giants, establishing him in the movement that became known as the West Coast School of Cool Jazz. Jimmy began leading his own sessions in 1954 with groundbreaking albums like Four Brothers and Tangents in Jazz, which explored bluesy folk jazz and third stream fusion, which is an amalgamation of jazz and classical music. His restless creative spirit drove him to push the boundaries of texture, dynamics, counterpoint, and improvisational freedom in surprisingly avant-garde ways. He achieved all this despite maintaining a cool, analytical exterior. He incorporated these concepts into the first version of the Jimmy Jufri III in 1956. In this group, he played clarinet, tenor, and baritone saxophone. Jufri's choice of instruments was a reflection of his iconoclastic taste. He had the neck of his tenor sax rebent to create a distinctive sound. He played the A-natural clarinet rather than the more common B-flat version that gave him a dark, woody tone. His clarinet sound has been compared to the light swinging sound of Paul Desmond's alto sax, famous for his work with pianist Dave Brubeck's quartet. As with many jazz artists, Jimmy's maintained this deep sense of his personal and ensemble sound throughout his career. He was joined in his trio by harmonically advanced cool-toned guitarist, the legendary Jim Hall, and in-demand bassist Ralph Pena. Bassist James Atlas later replaced Pena in the trio. They proved to be perfect partners for Jufri's musical conception. I was interested to read that one of the models for this group was Claude Debussy's Sonata for Flute, Viola, and Harp. Jimmy adopted Jim Hall's guitar for the harp, Ralph Pena's bass for the viola, and his own woodwinds for the flute. I'd like to sample a few pieces from the debut recording, simply called Jimmy Jufri III. This record was made in 1957 and was recorded on the Atlantic record label. The recording was comprised of tunes that are somewhat introverted and wistful, but harmonically advanced for their time. Jimmy described the music as blues-based folk jazz. His earlier work showcases Jufri's frustration with, as he called it, the insistent pounding of the rhythm section. He felt that this denied the listener the opportunity to hear the horn's true sound or to fully concentrate on the melodic line that soloists were creating. With his writing and playing on this record, however, he has come back to the more familiar jazz tenets of walking bass line and swing rhythms. The first track that I'd like to sample is the opening number on the recording. It's a song written by Jufri called Gotta Dance. And the opening of this track harkens back to his work in the swing idiom. So this is track number one, please, Jim. Thank you. was Gotta Dance, taken from the Jimmy Jufi 3 album recorded in 1957 on Atlantic. Next, I'd like to sample the trio's swinging version of the jazz standard, This Song Is You. Its quick tempo is reminiscent of the bebop style that Jufi has had rejected in his earlier compositions. Jerome Curran wrote this song with lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II. It was created for the musical Music in the Air from 1932. In later years, the song became closely associated with Frank Sinatra as he had a big hit with it. Here we have an instrumental reading by the Jimmy Jufi 3. This is track number 2. Another great track from this debut record. It's one of Jufri's best known tunes titled The Train and the River. This is track number 3. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. And for my final sample, I thought it would be fun to compare the evolution of Giuffre's song. The next incarnation of his trio replaced the acoustic bass with the valve trombone, played by Bob Brookmeyer. They were featured in a performance of the tune in the movie called Jazz on a Summer's Day, filmed at the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival. This track is taken from a compilation of the Jimmy Giuffre III's live recordings called Hollywood and Newport. This is a fine example of collective improvisation. So this is track number 4.
Thank you.
That's The Train and the River Live, taken from Jimmy Giuffre 3, Hollywood and Newport Live, released on River Records. They really developed that train idea in this live set. In 1961, Giuffre formed a new trio with pianist Paul Blais and bassist Steve Swallow. This group was considered too advanced to gain much of a following and disbanded a year later, in 1962. Jimmy became an educator and recorded off and on during the 70s. He experimented with electric instruments in the 80s, reunited his trio with Blais and Swallow in 1992, recording for several avant-garde-oriented labels. In his later years, Giuffre suffered from Parkinson's disease and was no longer able to perform or record. I hope you've enjoyed this brief look at one of the true innovators in jazz, Mr. Jimmy Giuffre.
Jimmy Giuffre has left us with some compelling and truly original music using atypical instrumentation. His choice of sidemen was uncanny in bringing his creativity to the fore. Small groups such as his have enjoyed success with their understated elegance and subtle swing. We recorded the live presentation in October 2019. Giuffre had an uncommon approach that deserves more recognition. So here is a little bit more recognition as we play our way out with Jimmy's Crawdad Suite from the Jimmy Giuffre 3 album. Thank you. This program was made possible by Jazz Yukon, a volunteer organization that promotes and presents jazz in the Yukon through an annual integrated program of live jazz presentations and jazz education outreach. This episode was researched and written by Steve Gedrose. Live recording by Jim Holland. Script edits, David Sillery. Dieter Gate is our producer. And live presentation by Fawn Fritzen. And I am Maria Leniak. Thank you for listening.